The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. In a land where being a Christian was punishable by death, St. Paul the Apostle faced the possibility of arrest and death every day. But he was not afraid of death. Writing to the Christians at Corinth in today's second reading, he said, "We know that while we are in the body, we are away from the Lord, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." There are Christians in a certain country of Africa who never say of their dead who die in the Lord that they have departed. Speaking from the vantage point of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they triumphantly and joyously say, "They have arrived." What joy, even in sorrow, is ours when we say of our loved ones who enter eternal life trusting in Jesus, "Absent from the body, at home with the Lord." Christians do not fear death. They look upon death as something better than this life. They know that the life we have after death is far better than anything we have experienced in this life. This does not mean that Christians have a death wish. It does mean that Christians do not grieve when death separates them from loved ones. It means that they do not grieve about the welfare of the person who has died. They grieve, of course, about their loss. It is important to grieve. It is better for our emotional health that we weep and cry when we feel the need when someone passes. Don't try to suppress grief. Let it come out. Grieving will help us adjust to the pain and loss we feel when a loved one passes. Remember that Jesus wept. We say that's the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Well, you remember that happened when his friend Lazarus died. And so he wept. But then he went on to raise Lazarus from the tomb to show us that death is not the final word for us. God our Father has power over death. He will raise us from the dead. So even when we grieve and weep, when a loved one is taken from us, knowing that our loved one has gone to be with Jesus gives us comfort and great relief as we weep. Furthermore, when our own time comes to leave this earthly life, we can do so without fear and dread and go forth to the new life in heaven with hope and assurance. How can we know that we have new life after death? We know it because our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and appeared to the early Christians. We know it because of the eyewitness testimony of those early Christians, and because that eyewitness testimony of the early Christians stood up under the most difficult test. St. Paul's testimony stood up under the most difficult test many times over. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, appeared to Paul, the persecutor of Christians, on the road to Damascus. Why did people believe Paul when he told them about this? They believed him for two reasons. First, his life was totally changed from meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. He went from evil to good. He stopped hating and persecuting people and began loving his fellow man. Secondly, Paul no longer feared death. He was even willing to risk his own life to share with others the good news of salvation and eternal life through Jesus. For telling others that he knew for a fact that there was life after death because he had seen the risen Lord Jesus, Paul was imprisoned, beaten, and stoned until he was unconscious. And yet he kept on going from city to city, publicly preaching Jesus Christ as risen from the dead, as the Savior of the world. Though the world put Paul's eyewitness testimony to the resurrected Jesus Christ to the harshest test, nevertheless, his eyewitness testimony stood the test and passed it. Even when faced with death by beheading, if he refused to deny Christ, he would not deny his Lord. And so he went to his death refusing to deny Christ and refusing to recant that the risen Lord had appeared to him. This Paul, the eyewitness who stood the test, writes to us in the second reading for today, and he says, "We know." He doesn't say, "We think, we suppose, we're pretty sure." He says, "We know." Yes, Paul knew because he had seen Jesus alive on the road to Damascus, risen after he had died on the cross. So Paul writes, "We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul was a tent maker by trade. He made handmade tents to earn his living. Here, Paul compares our earthly bodies to a tent for our souls to live in. A tent is intended to be a temporary dwelling, not a permanent one. Thus, our earthly bodies are just temporary dwellings, not our permanent dwellings, just temporary dwellings for our soul. A building, on the other hand, is a permanent building, a permanent dwelling. When we die, our souls go to heaven with Jesus. In heaven, according to Paul, God will provide our souls a permanent dwelling to live in. And this will happen on the last day when God raises our bodies like he raised the body of his son Jesus. Because the resurrected body is changed, it will never die again. Paul compares it to a building, a permanent dwelling for the soul. He says, if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What great comfort this was to Paul as he faced great hardship for the Christian faith every day, even the possibility of death. Speaking of his hardships, he said, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. We know, Paul continues, that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, he says. Paul is not wishing for death here. Instead, he is drawing comfort from knowing that this life of hardship and pain is only temporary, and that when it is over, there's a far better life for us in our home above. Do the hardships of life sometimes oppress you? Remember, this life is temporary. A far better permanent life awaits you. What if, like Paul, you were facing death, not from persecution, but, say, from a terminal illness? What a wonderful passage this would be. We know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. With Paul, you could say, while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Do you wonder if you would really go to heaven if you died? How can you be sure that you are saved? Paul answers this question in verse 5. He says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us his Spirit as a down payment, guaranteeing what is to come. What does this mean? It means that if you have God's Holy Spirit in you, you are guaranteed eternal life. But how can you know if you have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit brings us to faith through the hearing of God's word. Do you have faith in Jesus? If so, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us to repentance. Are you sorry for your sins? And are you trying to overcome them? If so, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you in baptism. Have you been baptized? If so, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts with godly love for our neighbor and for God and for our neighbor. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbors? If so, you have the Holy Spirit. You see, We have the guarantee of eternal life because there is evidence in our lives of the work of the Holy Spirit. This does not mean that we have reached perfection. Jesus died for us because we are not perfect, and he forgives our sins whenever we ask him. But there is evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you have the Holy Spirit, therefore you're guaranteed eternal life. That's the promise of God's word to you in verse 5 of today's second lesson. Finally, Paul concludes this passage by saying, "Let us make it our goal to please God, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that each may receive recompense for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." Here Paul tells us how we are to live in the meantime as we wait for the earthly tent to be taken down and our souls go to our permanent home in the heavens. We are to live in preparation for judgment day. Now somebody might say, "Preacher, this sermon was okay till you brought up judgment day." The mention of judgment day brings us great fear and trembling. But Paul tells us how to be ready for judgment day. "Make it your goal to please God," he says in verse 9. Is it your goal to please God with the help of the Holy Spirit? If so, then you need not fear judgment day. The desire to please God is the very best sign of repentance and faith of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So all who have the Holy Spirit and all who have come to repentance and faith in his Son Jesus will have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Therefore, Christians need not fear judgment or death. We know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. As long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This true story happened in China. A man hurried through the gate into a Christian's yard. You could tell his message was important. He told his Christian neighbors, "My mother is afraid that she is dying, and she would like a Christian to come and see her." "Is your mother a Christian?" they asked him. "We have always worshipped another God, but mother wants something else now." Two Christian women hurried to the man's house to visit the dying woman. Quietly, they told her of the love of God, how God sent his Son to die for our sins, and how he rose from the dead to bring us the assurance of life after death. Quietly, the woman believed and expressed faith in Jesus as her Savior. Morning broke on the second day. She could not live. The doctor said he could not do any more for her, could not help her any further. Still, her son knelt beside her to tell her he would go again to get the doctor. But she raised her hand to stop him, saying, "No, son, the doctor has done all he could do. I will go to my new home where I can be with Jesus." She is there with him now. As long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen.